Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
There you go.
Amen. This feels like one of my messages to a halfway house or something. But thank the Lord that Jesus showed up. The music was beautiful. While I was sitting there, I felt the Holy Spirit unctioning me to just have us go before the Lord in prayer for the saints that even weren't able to make it, those that are traveling, whatever it is. And also, let's pray for our pastor. We need to pray for our church, you guys. We really do. It's times like these that unity is really important. And let's just go before, if you would even stand on your feet if you can, let's just intercede for our congregation, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now, Father, for Jesus. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross, Father, and made a way that no one else could do. Lord, our situation was pitiful. And Father, I thank you that you've touched a certain group of people in this city and cities even surrounding, Father. And you called us together and called us Crossway Community Church. And Lord, I thank you for the souls that are not even present. Father, I even see their faces, and I'm going to preach to them this morning even though they're not here, Lord. And Father, I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for the hearts of our church, Lord. Those that are traveling today, those that are on vacation. Father, we thank you for Pastor. Lord, he needs a refreshing, Lord. Touch his family in this time. We thank you for those, Father, that have even chose to step away, Lord. Lord, we just ask to send the spirit of conviction, Father. Lord, keep them under the understanding of Jesus Christ and him crucified and the exclusivity of it, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the unsaved souls, Lord. People in this city, Lord, to the north, Lord, to the south, to the east, and to the west, Lord. And we cry out for these souls, Lord, because those are the ones you want, you see seated here too. And Father, I'm preaching to those souls today too, Lord. Father, I'm preaching to souls that are in crack houses this morning, Lord. I'm preaching to souls, Lord, that are sitting with a needle and don't know what to do today, Father. Lord, I ask that the message that goes on this CD, Lord, would touch a heart, Lord, that somebody will tune it in, Lord, miraculously, and know that my hope is in Jesus Christ alone. And Father, we give you the glory. We thank you for the increase, Lord. We thank you for true church growth, Lord, that is not numbers, but it's maturity, Father. Lord, we thank you for a mature body today, Lord. And we just ask you to continue to move and bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. While I was preparing this message, agonizing like usual, the Lord began to feed me. And I know that I know again to the several families that are present today, I know it's for us. So this message is, I believe it was handpicked. I believe it was even supposed to be this way. Because there's a question at the end. What are we going to do? And the title of this message is Who's Going to Fill the Seats? Amen. And the title of the message is Who's Going to Fill the Seats? And as we go through this message, we're going to see that it's not so much about church seats. Amen. But how many of you know that Jesus Christ has a party scheduled? Amen. How many of you know that Jesus Christ has a supper that he's beckoning the world to come to? And how do you know when he throws a party, it's huge, amen? I know there was times in my worldly, you know, things that I was doing, tried to find the nearest party. Where is it at? Where are they getting drunk at? Where are they getting high at? Sometimes we just wanted to do some things and have some fun. But I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ himself schedules a party, hallelujah, you don't want to miss it, hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that today. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 7th chapter. This is just something the Lord wanted me to tie in. Because what happens, where we're going to actually go to park at in our text is going to be in Matthew. But you can miss what it's talking about. This is not talking about just salvation and the need for salvation. It's actually, I got chills when the Lord showed it to me. I believe it's a double reference. And when we go to Matthew, but go ahead and go to Romans 7. But when we do go to Matthew, he's talking about the wedding feast of the Messiah. I truly believe he was looking at the day we're in today. Because it's not just justification, it's sanctification. And marriage is all in that context. So we're going to go here just to lay a foundation. Romans 7, we're going to start at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them who know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also, hallelujah, are become dead to the law. So that's a good place to shout, church. By the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of with the sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And you can stop right there. Basically, in a nutshell, what Paul is saying, when we married Christ, how many of you know that's justification? It means you're saved. We were not free to go to anybody else. In other words, you can't have one man pay the bills and another person give you thrills. Amen? It's the same guy. And Jesus Christ is to provide it all. So salvation is not just your justification, it's also your sanctification. So I thank the Lord that in these last days, hallelujah, in these last days, the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified, is coming forth as clear as it's ever come to this generation, telling men that it's not just good enough to be saved. You can be justified. Hallelujah. And everybody that thinks they're going to be at the marriage supper ain't going to be there. Why? Because Paul just called him an adulterer. Okay, that's not me. That's this word. How many of you remember Romans 6 is clearly breaking down justification? That so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. So he takes that same thought into chapter 7 and saying, look, you don't leave. If you do leave, sorry to tell you, but you're an adulterer. But how many of you know the other point of the passage is that because Jesus took care of death, amen, because Jesus nailed the law to his cross, we now don't have to be bound to the sin nature anymore. We're free to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. You can give Jesus a hand on that. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I like this fancy stuff, too. Matthew 22, starting at verse 1. And the name of this message, again, who's going to fill the seats? There's a party being set up, you guys. And it transcends churches, transcends denominations. It transcends who you think you are, what your ideology is. This is about Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And he's the king at this supper, hallelujah. And he's demanding us to go get them. Starting at verse 1, it says, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them, again the parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Stop right there. Man, I thank the Lord for this. This is talking about sanctification too. He said the kingdom of heaven, and I looked that up, found out what is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven basically means the kingdom from heaven. And it says it was like unto a man. This parable has got a double reference. It's immediately talking about what happened to the Jews. The Jews suffered around 70 AD. They got destroyed by the Romans. Josephus actually, who was a historian then, they used to actually mediate that whole dilemma. And he wrote some terrible things about it. Said that 1.1 million Jews laid in the streets. Said walking in Jerusalem when it was overtaken, you had to step over bodies. And we're going to find out that Jesus is truly talking about the judgment that comes when you take this gospel lightly. But how many of you know if you take it to 2011, sanctification. There's people that are going to miss it and take it lightly, amen? And judgment is on the church, amen? The church is being judged. In church, we just pray that we don't take it lightly. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I drive an hour to come here for one reason. Not because just because of pastor, although I do love my pastor. But I come here because the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached exclusive and I can't find it anywhere else. Amen. And something on the inside of you ought to churn to support the gospel. Amen. Something on the inside of you ought to say, my God, they're teaching it. That's why sometimes if it's popping up 30 miles west or north, try to find a way to go support those guys. Why? Because this is a rarity. There's a thing in the world called the law of scarcity. That's why gold is so important. You know, if there was gold everywhere, gold wouldn't be worth a nickel. That's why sand would never hold currency. But gold will. Why? Because it's scarce. It's rare. If you find anybody, your neighbor, hallelujah, your best friend, if you see it on TV, church support it, hallelujah, get behind it. Why? Because we're in a day and age where men's hearts are going to leave, hallelujah, the truth of this gospel and go seeking other things. They're going to seek things that make itchy ears feel good, hallelujah. They're going to seek other things because their heart is craving after selfishness. But how many of you know that if we hold to this thing, there's a supper for us, amen? There's a feast waiting for us. There's seats at the table waiting for us. And God's calling us to Him. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Please don't give up, because who's going to fill the seats? Hallelujah. And it said the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them who bidded them to the wedding, and they would not come. How many of you know we've got so many prophets that came? John the Baptist, amen. Mighty, mighty apostles in the early church. God sent them. How many of you know God has sent people in this day in Springfield, Ohio? God has sent people. God has sent us, sister, to your neighbors, amen. Brother Emerson, Mike, He sent us. And there's a price you pay when you take it lightly. Hallelujah. Because somebody's got to fill the seats. Hallelujah. And it said again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatterlings are killed, and all they are ready. Come unto the marriage. My God, if you're listening to this by a CD and your life is in shambles and you're wondering, is there a way out? If you're even sitting in this room and you're dealing with some things and wondering, is there truly a way out of this? I'm here to tell you that there's an invitation. Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you by the mercies of God. And this pitiful preacher here is begging you, amen, come to the wedding, amen. Come, he's opened the table for you. And when the master of the universe opens his table, when he says he's cut the fatted lambs, amen, when he says he's cut it, let me tell you, there's something for you. There's something for you. I'm telling you that suicidal thoughts can stop. I'm telling you that depression can stop, amen. I'm telling you that murder can stop. Drug addiction is no counterfeit for Jesus Christ. Jesus will overtake all of it. Hallelujah. And he's calling us to that table. And he said, behold, I prepare my dinner. And the oxen, go down to verse 5. But they made light of it and went their way, on to his farm and other to his merchandise. And you know, that's the spirit that's in the church today. The Bible said that Jesus was standing at the door knocking, asking, could I come in and sup? People went on, well, I think I'll watch the extra movie. Oh, I think I'll make an extra loaf of bread for tonight. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is calling us to the table, and he's got a mandate on us to call other people to the table. Church, we've got to take it. We've got to take it. And when you take it lightly, it brings judgment. And if you think this is Mahari, no, it's not. Because proof of it, look at what happened to Jerusalem in 70 AD. that's proof positive that if you take this gospel lightly, there's judgment. There's judgment. And not just your justification, but sanctification. You know what God has gone through to bring it into this day and age, to go through people through eons of generations, to finally wake up a revelation to a group of people. Whether it's Brother Swaggart or whoever, it's not about Swaggart, but the fact that he's gone through hell and high water to get a revelation into this earth, we've got to get behind this thing. Amen? We've got to take it to the world. Hallelujah. But it said in verse 5, but they made light of it and went their ways onto his farm and to others to their merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard of it, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up the city. Proof of it, it actually happened in 70 AD. But I'm here to tell you it's happening now. God has so many forms of judgment. Why do you think a backslidden church keeps grabbing more junk? And if we think we're exempt from a church, I heard Brother Swagger say this morning, he said, yeah, we got our faith in the cross. He said, but sometimes this engine likes to slip gears on us. How many of you ever had an old car, you thought you had it in third, and all of a sudden it slipped down to second or got out of gear? Hey, believe it, we're human. We're dealing with a thing called flesh. And God, the Holy Spirit, is telling us to take heed. Hallelujah. It said in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Verse 8, sorry. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye, therefore, into the highways, and as many as you shall find, woo, bid to the marriage. Go ye into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. Go ye into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. One verse even says, compelling men. What does compelling mean? Compelling is to say, brother, you need this. Come and get this. Oh, I beg you. Oh, please get away from that bondage that you're in. Oh, please try and taste and see how good it is. We're being commanded. Why? Because God has a party. Amen. God has a party. And when he sets a party, I can tell you what, he may have 20 million seats. He may have a billion seats, but they're all going to be filled. And you know who's going to fill them? The drug addict. You know who else is going to fill them? The person hooked on bondage. Amen. The person who was the harlot. The one that we turned our nose up maybe. You know who's going to get it? The one who we thought, oh, not that guy. God said, go into the highways and the byways and go get them. Hallelujah. Compelling men to come. Because it's a sad fact that the church can take lightly such a great salvation. But there's a group out there in Springfield, Ohio, waiting. There's a group sitting there wondering if this thing is real, will somebody tell me about it? There's somebody sitting in a project. And you know what? The Lord was giving me this too. Everybody's not been hooked on drugs. And you know, most of my life I wasn't either. There was a segment of time it happened. So it's not like you got to be hooked on drugs to win the lost. But let me tell you something. The heart for it comes from understanding just how messed up you really are. Because if you take, Lord gave me this analogy. How many of you are seeing these $1 trillion debt talks they're doing? How many of you ever did your own debt talk and it may have been in the hundreds? You know, if you're dealing with hundreds of dollars, you may round up to the nearest 50. You may say, well, honey, let's do some math. We owe $762.95. She said, oh, let's just make it 8. But how many know when you're dealing with $13 trillion, your little $65 roundup ain't nothing? It's insignificant. And some people, you say, oh, that's bad. But well, I was just a liar. I was just a cheater. or I was just a prideful person. You know, against the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it all washes out to the same thing. It's insignificant. It's insignificant. Sin is sin. Broke down is broke down. I don't care if you're broke down in a bus, if you're broke down in a moped, you need help. Hallelujah. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there's a group out there that's saying, help me, Jesus. Amen. It could be your neighbor. They might be at your store, because all of us are delivered from something. All of us are delivered from something. I thank God for the Pentecostal experience. Because you know what the Pentecostal experience says? We all sit in here, broke down together, amen? One is a broke down whore, one was a broke down crackhead, one was a drunk, one was a businessman that thought he had it all together, but at the end of the day, we're all saying, Jesus, hallelujah. And this is the highways and the byways. This is who's going to come get it, amen? And we got to quit looking in, because you know what happens? When a church begins to look inward, it's no different than arguing with your wife or arguing with your friend. I know at work we got an issue going on at my job because people got too much time and everybody's pointing, this guy, this guy. There's a lost and dying world out here, amen? They're out here. And when we look inward, it's a trick of Satan to hold us all for too many seconds. It's almost like the, you know, if something falls on the ground, we got a 3-second rule. Go ahead and eat it. We could take those trips, but I'm telling you, I beg you, I beseech you, don't stay in that rut too long. Why? Because he's taking the focus off of these seats that got to be filled. The seats to the lambs, who cares about these seats? But Jesus has a party, amen? Jesus has seats, and he's saying, go fill them up, church. Go get them, hallelujah. So he said in verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how did you think you could come in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind his hand and foot and take him away. And cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And I really asked the Lord what that was about. And you know what it is? I don't care which group you get. The ones that didn't even deserve to be there, but they became deserving. Or the group that had it all along and just grew cold-hearted. Let me tell you something. Sin's going to try to creep back in. Amen. Self-righteousness will creep back in. My way spirit will always creep back in. And church, we have the responsibility of being able to see it and stay away from it. Turn in your Bibles to Acts. We're going to start at chapter 10. And let's start at verse 1, and we're going to skip through. We're not going to read the whole chapter. Amen. You guys getting anything out of this? Thank you, Lord. Who's going to fill the seat? And we've got a command. You know, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist, but it doesn't mean you are an evangelist. But everybody's called to evangelize. And if you say, I need a word from God telling me to do it, go back and read that in your own time. Go ye. Go ye. Now, he also has a fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. That's a different touch of God. But everybody's called. Go get them. Amen. Somebody say, go get them. Hallelujah. Verse 10, let's read verse 1 and 2. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Stop right there. Cornelius was not a saved man, but he had the fear of the Lord. There's another message one day the Lord's going to free me to preach it, But it talks about the fear of the Lord being the root of what causes people to come to God, and some people don't come to God. Because you go to the craziest hell house there is, there ain't no fear of the Lord, ain't nothing happening, amen? Somebody's got to fear God. Somebody's got to want something different in their life, and the Holy Spirit's been preparing people, and that's my point. The Holy Spirit's been preparing people. There's people out here in this city that have the fear of the Lord, and they're giving alms. They're helping. They're putting money in buckets, and their heart is so far from God, but they're waiting on a meeting, hallelujah, a meeting with Peter, amen. They're waiting on a revelation with the church to come in contact with them, amen. When opportunity meets destiny, hallelujah, something happens, and we're going to talk about that. Turn in that same chapter to verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been great sheets knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke and said again a second time, "What God hath cleansed, that cannot thou call not common." Verse 16. Then was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. Let me stop there. If you hadn't read that story, Cornelius, who feared the Lord, who was not saved, was told from God to go meet this man in a certain place. The dilemma of this story is Jews don't fool with Gentiles. And the Lord took me to, as I was looking at this passage, he took me to a passage in the Gospels where the Gentile needed healing from Jesus and said, "Master, would you please heal me?" And he said, "Or heal my family." And he said, "It's not yet time." And he said, "But you know what? Even the dogs eat the scraps off the master's table." And you know, Gentiles were called dogs. Why? Because they didn't share the same commitments. They didn't share the same traditions. They didn't share the same revelation. And even Jesus walked in that same tradition. They're dogs. It's not yet time. But how many of you know, as the parable we read in Matthew, and Jesus even told him, "Man, I've never seen faith like that. A dog can get the hand of the master." Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus has already told. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And it said in verse 17, "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were seen from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gates and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, would lodge there. And Peter thought on the vision. The Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting not, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down unto the man which was sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherewith you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one who fears God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for you into the house and to hear words of you. Then called he them and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. God told Peter, don't call common and unclean that which I've called clean. So what's the application for us, church? Don't call unclean and common anything that God has called clean. And you say, well, brother, I don't do that, and I don't doubt it. But you know what? God's going to send us, and I'm speaking to you as prophetically as I know how, but God's going to send you opportunities. I know it because he wouldn't have gave me the message, and he wouldn't have made it sync so good with what's going on today. But God's going to send opportunity to you guys, and I'm glad it's just us, because mark my words, if it don't happen, tell me, say, brother, you missed it. But you're going to have opportunity, and I mark my words on it. God's going to give you the unction. God's going to give you words. And if you've been one that have never been one that even was very vocal, you're going to be amazed how that mouth just was talking. Amen. And you're going to be shocked who it is. It may be someone you've never thought you would have any inkling to share Jesus with. But God's going to bring him your way. Why? Because he's going to fill the seats. Amen. He's going to fill the seats. Somebody give Jesus an amen. Hallelujah. He's going to fill the seats. So basically, just summarizing, we talked about justification and sanctification being both part of the marriage understanding, that we're committed to Jesus, not just to be saved, but to stay saved. Amen. And we know that the great parable of the go ye, amen, fill the seats in heaven. We know that that great parable was spoken with marriage all through it. And we know that today, this age, the message of the gospel of the cross in perspective to sanctification is in its highest understanding it's ever been. Let me say something about that. I got this from my brother Mike, the historian. But we know that the church reformers came out of Catholicism saying the just shall live by faith. And that was cataclysmic. It was monumental. It was huge. People died as a result of it. People were martyred, similar to the parable there. But you know what? God still held some back. And I'm sure people understood the cross for sanctification. But now is the day and age where it's not just justification, it's sanctification. Amen. It's the full scope of the understanding. The light has been given. Amen. The light has been given. And now we read this and it says, go ye. Go ye and beckon people to the marriage table of the Lamb. So now we've got a different message. You guys, it's not just for justification, it's for sanctification. But as the parable says, those that are already in the fold, most of them took it lightly. They said, who cares? And I dare you to look out to those that don't have any clue. I dare you to look at those that have never even heard the gospel cross their ears. I dare you to look at the one that is truly hurting, that is truly bound by even depression. Depression is so huge in this day and age. Psychologists making more money. There's more people in psychological fields today than just 20 years ago. Why? Because people are depressed, discouraged, and insecure. We've got the answer. Amen. We've got the only answer that God's ever given a man, and the only answer that works. Hallelujah. And he said, go ye. Go. Hallelujah. Beckon them to come. They took it lightly. Let's go somewhere else. Let's move on. Keep it moving. Amen. And the funny thing about that friend portion where he said, friend, you can't come in here with a different garment on. And the Lord just gave me that now. When it comes to spiritual business, I heard Brother Swagger said that the friend didn't mean friend in the positive. Maybe it didn't. But you know what? I know business and personal is two different things. God's a God of justice, amen. God is a God of judgment. Yeah, that's why Adolf Hitler can't find a seat in heaven. And you can't come two different ways. There's one way, amen? And you can't walk in this party with your own garment on. You can't walk in this party thinking that you can, oh, now that I got this, I'm going to switch back over to this other stuff. It don't work that way. Amen. And he was judged like the rest of them. Church, we've got a mandate to go ye. We're holding something that is so powerful. I hope we see it. And Brother Chris was so right when he talked about the righteousness. What a song said, Lord, you are my righteousness. Guys, this is so huge what we have. If this don't work, you know what? We might as well go back into the world and party it up real good. But it does work. Amen. We're living witnesses. Amen. I don't like putting other people's stuff on blast, but Brother Emerson, come out of rank sin. Myself, out of rank sin. I know there's other testimonies in here who are drunks, liars, cheaters, insecure, fearful. Amen. We got testimony. We tell them, amen, God did it for me. He'll do it for you. Hallelujah. And let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this church. We thank you for the souls. Give them safety on their roads, Father, handling their business, Lord. And Father, those that should be here that haven't even seen this building yet, those that are in the highways and byways, Lord, that you've got a seat like the parties I remember that have the name tent right in front of their seat. Lord, your first class, grade A, triple A rated party of the universe, Lord, that you've given a beacon to this mankind. Come, come. Who would deny such a beautiful salvation? Father, you've dropped that burden on us, and you've given us a revelation of the cross, not just for justification, but for sanctification, the missing link, if you will. And Father, I thank you for the mandate, but most of all, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, the power, hallelujah, the dunamis, Lord, to carry this work out. Father, we thank you for the souls earlier, and we're going to thank you again because we believe that we received when we prayed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for preachers in these aisles, Lord. I thank you for salvation in these aisles, Lord. I thank you for prophets in these seats, Lord. I thank you for evangelists, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the heart that wants to do things in this church, Lord, that you birthed, not flesh, but you did it. Lord, we need you in this hour, and we give you the praise and all the honor in the mighty and most powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.